Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Danielle Hunter, good afternoon to you.
Hi, good afternoon. How are you doing?
Very well, thank you, Danielle. How are you? Are you okay? Did you have
well,
a good
thank
day?
Thank you. Yes, I have had. Thank you so much.
Lovely. Thank you so much. We're going to be talking about a rather interesting subject this afternoon. And I do want those who are listening, those who are intending to get married, those who are married, to make sure that you tune in and invite friends, family, invite colleagues and everyone to actually join us as we are going to be having a very interesting conversation with Danielle. And if you want to comment, if you want to give a view or say something in this topic, please do so at +27734703520. That's the text, the WhatsApp text that you can send to us. Now, sharing things with your spouse is essential for intimacy and closeness. But how much sharing is too much? Is there room for privacy in marriage? What about secrecy? What's the difference between the two? And what are healthy boundaries in marriage with regards to privacy and mutual trust and respect? And of course, we do believe that at the end of this conversation, we would have unpacked, Danielle would have actually helped us to look into these and helped us to understand exactly what should be happening in marriage, in our marriages today. Danielle, let's start with the difference between privacy and secrecy. Is there a difference?
Yes, for sure.
Should be a difference? Should there be a difference?
You know what, hey, this is such a contentious issue we've seen of late in marriages, privacy and secrecy and what does it mean? And I think this conversation is really a good one because I think it will help a lot of listeners understand the difference, right? Mm-hmm. So privacy is consensual. It's the behavior. It protects, is socially legitimate, and it's seen as non-threatening to others or to your partner, right? Mm-hmm. But secrecy is non-consensual. The behavior it protects is seen as illegitimate and as involving, you know, the interest. It's excluding the interests of your partner. It's only your best interests. So in layman's terms, when we think of privacy, we are withholding certain information from public view and consumption and keeping it private. You know, we're not sharing everything with everyone kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, secrecy is intentionally keeping things, information hidden from individuals. So how to tell if something is a secret is to ask yourself, does it bring up shame and fear? And are you spending a lot of time keeping it hidden?
Interesting. Now let's come to marriage. Is there room or should there be room for privacy or secrecy in a marriage relationship? I'm talking about proper, you know, marriage relationship.
Okay, so off the bat, I'm going to say there should be no secrecy in marriage, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can have privacy in a marriage. Remember that before you got married, you were both individuals. You know, you went from me to we, and that doesn't mean that you need to lose yourself. In fact, the opposite is true. In order for a marriage to be healthy, each partner has to allow their spouse the space to grow as an individual and then grow collectively in a marriage. Remember that it is important as a couple to discuss what is privacy and what it means for the both of you and what is considered secrets. And then to move collectively, I like the way Dave Willis says that in marriage, secrets are as dangerous as lies. Marriage must be built on a foundation of total transparency and trust.
Mm-hmm.
You must prioritize trust and transparency in the marriage ahead of your own personal privacy. Unless you're planning like a surprise party or hiding a holiday gift, there are no places for secrets in marriage. Anytime you're having a conversation, making a purchase, sending a text message, or doing an internet search, or doing anything else, you hope your spouse never finds out about your secrecy is actually an act of infidelity. So that's a little scary, right?
Yeah. Well, did I hear you correct when you say you are allowed some privacy in marriage? Did I hear you right?
Yes, you are allowed privacy in your marriage, but within the bounds and within boundaries, right?
Please explain.
I'll give
more.
You some examples.
Yes, please.
Okay, so I'll give you some examples. Privacy is something you give someone out of respect. secrecy is something you withhold from one another. Privacy is when you want to go to the bathroom or try to buy them a gift without them knowing. Secrecy is when you feel guilty about something that you can't tell your spouse.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Privacy in marriage is, you know, your own personal space. In this, there is trust and respect. The other partner is aware of the space and respects it without intrusion. We all need that little private time for ourselves, right? Otherwise, I think we'd all just lose the plot completely.
Mm-hmm.
But secrecy is destructive in marriages. It's a lack of trust and respect. And this is something the other partner is unaware of, and in essence, it's a lie. So privacy is important for our own mental health within the bounds and respect of our marriage. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense. So this is supposed to be discussed by both parties, is that what you're saying, and agree on
Absolutely.
What privacy should be?
Absolutely. It's a discussion, right? In every marriage, there has to be effective communication to understand what we need from each other and how we can make the marriage not just survive, but thrive. And this is one of those very hot topics we see in marriage counseling, privacy versus secrecy.
Mm. You know, when you talk about privacy and some level of privacy in marriage, I'm trying to find out, how do we then come to a mutual decision regarding the level of openness? And there's a new word there,
mm-hmm.
openness and access, you know, to things like phones, messages, emails, bank accounts, etc. So there is openness, and I believe that there should be general openness in marriage, and so I think it's a rule, because the two live together and they become one. So basically, this is
yes.
one person. One plus yes. one is one. So this person is now. I'm so sorry. These two have now been joined and they are one. And so because they have come together, there is a certain level of openness and access to each other. I'm not sure, how do we then contrast that with privacy? I'm now going to be including, in your response, talk about issues like, cell phones, your emails, messages, bank accounts, money, debts, etc., etc.
Okay, so this is often a very contentious and hot subject, right? We see a lot of couples who fight about, they want their privacy when it comes to their phones. They want their privacy when it comes to the messages. And I'm going to say here, as a counselor, things like phones and messages, they strike quite a hot chord with a lot of people.
Mm.
But to have a marriage work and to have openness and honesty and trust, they have to be easily accessible to your partner.
Mm.
I know a lot of people are probably going to slam me for that, but it is very important, and I'll tell you why. We see way too many things going on with phones and messages that are damaging marriages, right? We see that there's a lot of mistrust, there's insecurity, there's dishonesty, partners hiding things from their partners on their phones. And so having access to phones and messages, if you want an open and honest marriage and relationship, your partner has to have access to those things. It does. A lot of people become uncomfortable with it because they say it violates my privacy. I'm going to say that, you know, you got married.
Hmm.
There's things that you share with your partner that are on other levels that you don't share with anybody else. You shouldn't share with anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
So there should be nothing that you're hiding. And this is where the secrecy comes in. Nothing that you should be hiding from your spouse on that phone. If there is something that you feel, oh, I couldn't share this with my spouse, or my spouse found out, they'd be really hurt, then that is a problem. You are keeping secrets, and that is destructive for your marriage. In regards to bank accounts, and, you know, I see a lot of couples that operate financially independently,
mm-hmm.
and it works for them because they have boundaries. They've had a discussion. They know what's going on. They know what their spouse earns. They're on the same page. So there's no space for, you know, resentment and bitterness and anger breeding in their relationship. They're working together. There's nothing worse than working in a relationship where one spouse is pulling the one way and the other spouse is pulling the other way. And there's no openness and common respect for each other.
Mm, mm, mm.
So I definitely believe that openness when you're married is very important if you want your relationship to work.
Yeah, yeah. Wow, interesting. Now, would you, in your view, and as a counselor experienced in that, say, there are negative consequences to complete transparency in marriage? Would you say there are negative consequences to complete transparency?
I think, you know, in regards to marriage, it depends on the relationship. And here I'm going to caution individuals in that, you know, in a secure relationship where both partners are working together and towards a future they both want, then there is little to no damage about being completely open, as each partner will know exactly what is going on, right? They respect each other and they're on the same page because they want their marriage to work, their family to thrive. The difference comes in when there's a toxic relationship, when there's a destructive relationship, where there's an imbalance in regards to privacy and secrets, then it might not be the best idea to be the only partner that's revealing everything and opening yourself up to being victimized or probably possibly being taken advantage of. You have to navigate your relationship. You have to see what is going on here. Am I receiving the same amount of transparency as my spouse is giving and I'm giving, or is there a disparity? Do we need to sit down and have that conversation and understand what is actually going on?
So are you saying that the level of transparency, if I don't know if I'm hearing you correctly, the level of transparency that one affords the spouse should be determined by the level of transparency they receive from the other?
I think it's a discussion and a navigation, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you both are on the same page and you're both being completely transparent, you feel safe and secure in the relationship, you know that your spouse respects you, they're not hiding anything from you, then you would want to be completely transparent, right? You'd want to have that safety and that security. But if you are sensing that there are things that are being hidden, there's an imbalance, the relationship may be toxic, I think in order to protect yourself, you need to understand what level of transparency and what it looks like for you in order to safeguard yourself as well.
Mm. Well, interesting. Now, if someone tells me a secret, a friend of mine tells me a secret, you're laughing, Danielle. Is it okay for me to share it with my spouse, or is it wrong to keep it from my spouse? You know, especially if it's got nothing to do with my spouse or marriage or family.
Okay, well, you know, I think this one is a little bit complicated, and I think that, you know, you know the person that shared the secret with you, right? Mm-hmm. And you know your spouse. And you'll need to assess the situation and then ask yourself this: do you and can you trust your spouse?
Mm.
Right? How do you, is your spouse someone that you can divulge those secrets to and know that they will keep them, or is your spouse that person likes to gossip and blabber? Then obviously you can't discuss it with them, right?
Mm.
But then also ask yourself, if your spouse kept something from you and you found out about it later, how would you feel? It may have nothing to do with your spouse, but it also may make them feel excluded and start to question what else you're keeping from them.
Yeah, yeah.
So you need to make a call there. You need to navigate and say, is this going to have a destructive effect on my marriage or relationship? Or can I trust my spouse and know that they will keep it?
Mm. Yeah, well, I do have a comment here on coming on the line. But it says, the Bible says the two shall become one. So telling the spouse is the same thing as keeping it to yourself.
Okay. That's a new interpretation.
That is coming from Mr. Zama. So what's your view on that, Danielle?
Well, the thing is, he's right. The Bible does say, like we said earlier, the two become one. But I think what that then means is that you're on the same platform as your spouse, right? You both understand what you both need. You both understand that communication is needed in a marriage. You're both on the same page. You're transparent about your goals and aspirations individually, but also collectively as a marriage and as a family.
Mm.
The two become one means that we're not pulling in different directions. We're pulling in the same direction for the benefit of our marriage and our family.
So effectively, neither here or there. I mean, if you tell your spouse, I think it's an interesting interpretation, because if I tell my spouse about something that I've been told, effectively, I've not told anyone.
Yeah, if you want to look at it like that.
Well, Danielle, here's another one coming from Emmanuel, all the way from Uganda. Says, our opinions about others shouldn't be discussed and shared in relationships. For example, he says, if I have some negative opinions about my relatives, I do not need to share that with my wife. Doing so can be catastrophic in the event that the two parties conflict. The devil likes catalyzing such and blowing things out of proportions. Your view?
So I think that's a little bit of a touchy one, right?
Mm.
Because when it comes to keeping things that are going to affect your relationship with your spouse, it could be catastrophic. But I think it's, once again, a conversation that needs to be had in love, in respect, and honoring each other. And it's not a conversation that needs to blow up and there's fighting and arguing and screaming. It's a case of, we're both mature adults. This is how I feel. Your family makes me feel. And using I statements so that we can bring it back home and we're not blaming or pointing fingers. And then being on a common ground with each other so that your spouse knows how you feel. You know, there's nothing worse than holding resentment for extended family, but then taking it out on your spouse. And them not knowing or understanding why that's happening.
Interesting. Now, as we close off our conversation this afternoon, Danielle, what would you say are healthy boundaries in marriage?
Okay, so when we think of healthy privacy boundaries in a marriage, the starting point would be to remember that healthy privacy boundaries in marriage are not dishonest, right?
Mm-hmm.
They do not violate my partner's trust. They involve being unobserved and alone. They are not disruptive or harmful in any way. And they're healthy, healthy being a strong word, right?
Mm-hmm.
So someone might say, okay, now explain to me what is an example of a healthy boundary.
Yes.
That would be talking to your partner and letting them know that you need some alone time, right? Possibly maybe once a week or every second week in order to do something that you love, that will pull back into you.
Mm-hmm.
Take note that this is something that will not cause your partner to mistrust you.
Okay.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Also, friends. You know, often we find that this is a very misunderstood area and it causes a lot of contention in some relationships. And it's important that you allow your partner to have friends, to be able to spend time with their friends outside of the marriage, because it will be healthy for them. But the emphasis I'm going to put here is godly, wholesome, constructive friends.
Mm-hmm. So, so you're saying that keeping those boundaries around friendships. So my friends are my friends. Her friends are her friends.
Yes, you can have those boundaries, right? And you can also have collective friends.
Okay.
So if you say now, for example, you and your friends really like to go fishing on a Sunday kind of thing, and she knows that you're fishing, she knows that you're out on the vol, that's a really good boundary. She's respecting that. She knows where you are. You're not breaking any trust in the relationship. She's saying, go ahead. I want you to be happy. I want you to be healthy. I want you to have those good friendships because I know that they fill you up. They speak to you. And vice versa. Those are good friendships and good boundaries. Another thing may be, you know, if we have two or three couple friends and we spend time together, because collectively that's good for our marriage.
Beautiful.
Those would be examples of that.
Lovely. Well, Danielle Hunter, I must say thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. Our time is far spent, and I do appreciate that you've set aside time to speak to us this afternoon. A blessing to you indeed for that, and of course to your ministry and your work as well. Thank you so much.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me this afternoon. God bless.
Fantastic. Thanks.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.